All right, if you can take your Bibles and turn to the book of John, chapter 11. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The fourth of the Gospels, as we've been, studying our way through the life of Jesus Christ, and in that, simply looking at each of the Gospels, and we're now in the book of John, chapter 11, part two tonight, as we look at this situation with Jesus' friend Lazarus. And so we'll begin tonight. So we did the first 16 verses last time. And so this time we'll pick it up in verse 17 and we'll carry on through to verse 37. And so if you found your place there in John chapter 11, we'll begin here in verse 17. It says, "Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. Many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? And so this is, of course, is an amazing account, just a wonderful miracle of God that we're going to see him, and Lord willing, next time we'll look at the actual event here. But as we're leading into it, there's just some things to acknowledge. You know, it's always a very grievous thing when you lose a loved one. There's a sadness there. There's the loss of separation, and there's the desire to see things happen differently. There's always some regret. There's always a number of emotions that come up when it comes to losing a loved one. And we see this in Martha and Mary, and yet we also see the difference that that faith in Jesus Christ makes. Because they were not without hope. They had a strong consolation and understood the truth. And so we just want to look at their response here to understand some things about loss, because at this point, they don't yet understand what's really going to happen, that God is going to work an amazing miracle here, as we learned last time, that that Jesus and God the Father had a plan here that this sickness would not be unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And so Jesus articulated that to his disciples before he traveled to meet with Martha and Mary. But Martha and Mary were not aware that this was the plan. And yet we see here in Martha, and kind of my first point tonight is that, is looking at the response of faith to trials. Faith believes what God has revealed. And we see here that Martha, though she doesn't know exactly what's going to happen, yet she still has what has been revealed to her. And she believes it completely. And so she understands what God has promised to her and to her brother. And she is, at this moment, resting in that promise. And so we see here where Mary says, so of course she says to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And I believe that's her acknowledging Christ's ability. And I see that, you know, we'll see that not only did she say that, but also her sister said the same thing. And then the folks that were there, they were all kind of having that same thought. But she says right after that, she says, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And so she is looking by faith. She's trusting in the power of God. And it's a different, you know, when we understand God's purpose and God's plan, ultimately, when we know where we're going, when it comes to eternity, though we still have sadness as believers at the loss of a loved one, yet when that loved one has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, has had their sins forgiven, we can have great assurance in their future. And then we ourselves, if we have trusted in Christ as our Savior, we can be certain of our future. And so Jesus says to her in response, thy brother shall rise again. Now, of course, Jesus is talking about just in literally within hours hence of him saying that he's going to rise again. But she understands it, again, as an element of faith, knowing what is promised. She says, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Notice that she says in verse 22 and verse 24, I know. Do you notice she's not cast about wondering what's going to happen to my brother? Oh no, what's going on? Oh, all is lost. She says, I know. she also knew that had the Lord been there, he could have intervened. He didn't. He wasn't. But she knows that whatever Christ would ask of God, the Father, God would give it to him. And also, she knows that her brother will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Then, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Her immediate response, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And so to me, that's just such a clear statement of a believer. And we see that there's something solid about that. Yes, this situation is grievous. Yes, she is suffering the loss of her brother. She is in grief over that. They're crying. Because we can't, as physical beings, we cannot escape that, the physical separation that we feel when we lose someone that we love. And yet she's standing on these promises and knows who she's speaking to and knows what's coming, both for her and for her brother and for her sister as well. And so it's about having that understanding. We also have that understanding when we think about what is coming at the potential for us. You know, again, I say it not jokingly, but I just, because every generation of believers has been waiting for the imminent coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the rapture. And so I don't presume to know the day. I don't know, but I will just say it could be today. It could be today. But it may not be for 100 years from now. And so I'm fond of saying that I would prefer to go in the rapture. And yet I understand that there may come a time when my physical life will end. And so if that's to be, we have this consolation here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And starting in verse 1, it says here, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he hath that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." That word earnest means down payment. We understand when someone provides a down payment, they're providing a surety, they're providing a guarantee for the full payment. And so God has given us the Holy Spirit indwelling in the heart of every believer, that we might have confidence. And so it says here in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5, 6, "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." And so that's an assurance that we have. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so we have that consolation. Martha and Mary had that same consolation. And so though there's grief, there's a quiet confidence there in knowing the promises of God and understanding that. You know, it's a sad thing. I've had opportunity to attend, quite a number of funerals over the years. And, you know, when I was lost, attending the funerals of those that were lost. And dying without Christ is the saddest thing you can imagine. And I've been at those funerals. They're very sad. It's very grievous, because those people, they themselves and everybody there with them who is trusting in their own works, trusting in their own goodness, they're looking at eternity as an absolute black abyss. They don't know what's coming. They don't know where their future is. They don't know where their eternity is. And yet, I've also had opportunity to be at the funeral of those who had a testimony of And a real testimony of having trusted in Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? There was still grief there. But can I say there was a lot more joy than there was grief? And I was so encouraged. It's amazing to me that I could go into a funeral and come out happier than when I went in. But as the, you know, in this case, It was my friend Alex's father who had passed away. And he had, understanding that he was going to pass away, he had taken the time to visit with the pastor, to set out the message that would be given, to even choose the songs. And so it was really him sharing really his favorites, those songs and those scriptures that were his hope, the promises of God. And so as we sang those, it just made me think, like, you know, as he was approaching, stepping across into eternity, this was his hope and consolation, and it's my same hope and consolation. So it was just very encouraging to me as a young believer at that time to just realize that this world's not our home. And, you know, to be sent home to be with the Father is not a grievous thing for the one that departs this life. They've been separated now from the presence of sin. They are living in victory. Mortality is swallowed up of life. And so it's an exciting thing. And so when we understand that, God's grace prevents that sorrow in the heart. It's a different feeling. And if you've lost somebody who knows the Lord, you'll understand that. There's a sadness at the loss of separation, but there is still a joy in knowing that their eternity is secure. And so God's grace prevents sorrow in the heart, but not in the house, if I could say it that way. They're still within the home. There's still that, because they're there. There's an empty chair. There's no fellowship anymore directly. You're now saying that we are parted, but for a time. We'll meet again. But until that time, just as, you know, with family that lives so far off that you have, you know, a time to spend time with, and then they leave and you're not going to see them for a long time. There's that sense of loss there. And so, but you see the response of faith. Faith believes what God has revealed. And then secondly, as we look at Mary here in our text, in 28 of our text, it says, "And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him." Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then, when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now notice, both sisters have said the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I think there's something really, obviously, that's just a very honest reaction. I don't know that any of us would be any different. And when you know the Lord of glory, he's your friend, you know what he's capable of, and you've seen it, and you're in that moment when your brother is sick unto death, wouldn't you be saying, I wish the Lord Jesus was here right now? And yet they didn't understand. You know, both sisters were looking at God's intervention to prevent the tragedy. But God planned to be glorified in the tragedy. And I think that's something that's difficult for us to understand sometimes. That God doesn't always take away the tragedy to show himself strong. What he may do is allow it to pass that he might be glorified in it. That he might be glorified through you and through that situation. And so they, not knowing the timeline of God's plan, which is that any different from any of us? As we approach a situation that doesn't look good, we are saying, Lord, that, you know, can we see this change? Can we avoid this? Can this not happen? Well, because we can't see the other side of it. But we need to understand that we serve a God who exists not only in the present, but in the future and the past, just the same. It's all the same to God. He knows the end from the beginning. And so we need to put our trust in him that he may choose to allow us to escape a certain calamity or tragedy or trial, but he may not. We need to acknowledge that's his prerogative. Psalm 57, 1 and 2 says it like this. Be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge, until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God Most High, unto God that performeth all things for me. And so we have our trust in God. He is our trust in the midst of the storm, not to avoid all of the storms of life. He is good. We can, no matter what the circumstance of our life, we can have a condition of peace within our heart. And yet we can understand where they would be looking back and going, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And feeling that, just that sense of pain because it's fresh to them. And so we can understand that, but we also need to acknowledge that it could be that God, that may be the very thing that is needed in your life for what God sees for you in the future. And the real question is, how am I going to respond right now in the midst of this crisis? How am I going to respond right now in the midst of this tragedy? Am I going to respond for self? Am I going to respond in bitterness? Am I going to respond in anger, in pointing the finger and blaming? Or am I going to look to God? Am I going to humble myself before Almighty God? Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and he will lift you up. And so if we humble ourselves under God's hand and allow him to work in our heart to show us how we need to respond with grace, that's where we can be used as an amazing testimony of the power of God. Because as I've said before, everybody can shout glory to God from the mountaintop. But can you sing glory to God in the midst of the prison? Can you sing glory to God when everything that you've held valuable has been taken away? That only comes through the new birth. It only comes through trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. That won't come through religion. That won't come through doing things to please God. We need to cease from our works. We need to look to God in full reliance on Him and receive Him as Savior, confessing that we deserve to go to hell. We deserve that judgment. And yet in His love, He sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins that we could look to Him in faith and receive the payment that He made, shedding His holy, righteous blood on the cross of Calvary to deliver us from our sins, to pay the full price, that Bible word propitiation, full satisfaction. And so Christ's blood is both necessary and sufficient to save us. If we're relying on that, then no matter what is happening in life, we look to Christ for the answer and we find grace in Him. And so then as we continue, it says, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. And then the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold, how he loved him. We see here Christ's compassion on our situation. You know, Christ had great compassion. I, for the sake of time, I didn't pull them all. But there are many instances through the gospel where we see God's hand moved in compassion for the people. Just one here in Mark chapter 1 in verse 41 and 42, it says, and Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He cleansed the leper. Why? Because he was moved with compassion. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and following says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God understands, you know, we have that song, Does Jesus Care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. Jesus was visibly moved here. And again, this is not a show. This is the true heart of God showing itself bodily, the manifestation of God, Jesus Christ, God with us, showing the heart of God in his actions. He never did anything for show. Jesus is as real as it gets. And so his grief here is very real in the compassion that he has for these here that are feeling that grief and loss. And so we see the compassion of God and understand whatever you're going through in your life, God has great compassion on you. But again, he will not intervene against your will. God has great compassion. He has a solution. But he is calling out to you that you will look to him, that you'll rely on him and the solution that he has, and he will move on your behalf. Then we see finally in John 11:37, it says, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? And so now three times in this passage, we see both, we see Martha and Mary, and now others in the crowd talking about what Jesus could have done. And I'll just say, we understand it. Again, we understand why that happens. We all do that. But it's like I say, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Like, what is? You know, it's fine to speculate on what could have happened, but we live in time. And so if it didn't happen, it didn't happen. It's not what would have or could have happened. And many times I think people are focused, and all here in some degree, we're focused on what could have been done and not what will be done. And so we should not be replaying what God could have done. Can we understand that in our own lives? We should not be living on rewind in the past about what God could have done and miss seeing what God is doing. Like, what is God doing right now? Never mind what he may have done a year ago or 2 years ago, or, oh, I wish that never would have happened. Well, it did happen. The question is, are we going to be just staring backwards? Or are we going to look at right now? Where has God got you right now? Where does God want you to take your very next step? Because I will tell you, you can waste your whole life looking backward in the rearview mirror about what could have happened. But it's about what is going to happen. As Paul says concerning his Christian walk in Philippians 3:13, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. He's striving for excellence in his life. Do you realize that nothing that happened yesterday needs to predicate what is going to happen today? You know, I understood that the day I got saved. I understood, because I'll tell you, all the memories were coming back, because I was an atheist, mocker of Christians. And it was all coming back to me. You know, Satan was bringing that back to me. Oh, what about that person you mocked? And what about that person that you berated for believing that God was a creator of all things? You're going to have to eat a lot of humble pie. You're going to be eating a lot of crow. So I'm so thankful God gave me clarity to realize it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter all of that stuff that happened in the past. What happens is that right now I know that I need to be saved. And that was the very night, June 11, 2004. That was the night when I recognized it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Today I need to be saved. And I got saved. I asked the Lord to save me, and he did. And I wasn't worried about yesterday. I wasn't worried about how I was such an idiot. In fact, I was excited to know the truth. And I was beginning to look forward to seeing those people and saying, listen, I now realize you are right. Jesus is the Savior. He is God. He saved me. Praise God. And God gave me that opportunity. And so, no matter what, and when I woke up the next morning, I'll say this. Nothing that happened in the past was going to bear on what was going to happen that day. My life was a clean slate. Wiped away all the guilt, all the shame, all the regret, all the sin was washed away. And I could build my life on the scriptures. I could build my life in the will of God. And that's open to every single one of you. There is not a person that is outside of the grace of God. And so if you will trust in Jesus Christ today, He will change your life. And He will put you on a path you would never have understood yourself. And a place that is of so much greater value that we can know that we have a certainty. We have a home in heaven. As Martha said here, I know that He shall rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And so you can know for a certainty that when that final day comes, you will rise again. By the same power that raised Jesus from the grave, you'll be risen. Because His power is so much greater than what we can imagine ourselves. And so that we might acknowledge the power of God in this moment for what He can do. Because even though we may be in the midst of a strenuous situation. Ephesians 3:20 and 21 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all we ask or think. What's exciting about this is that in this particular passage, Jesus is about to do exceeding abundant above all they could ask or think. Even Martha, with eyes of faith, is saying, I know that He'll rise again. He'll rise at the last day. And Jesus is about to do her one better. How exciting. I mean, that to me is just, I'm overjoyed to see this because it just shows that whenever we think that we've reached the limit of what God can do, it's so far short of what God really can do. And so, you know, if we're going to bring our petitions to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, they ought to be big petitions. We ought not limit those to what we think God might be able to do. We ought to just cast all our cares on Him, knowing that He cares for us. We ought to just lay it all out there and then allow God to work it out according to His will, that He might answer that prayer and answer it in a way that maybe you never envisioned, you never imagined. And yet, it will be in keeping with God's glory. And if we ourselves have our hearts set toward God, that will allow Him to work in us and through us, then we also, in that moment, can glorify God. And God can do wonderful things. You know, He can deliver us from the lion's den, but He can also give us peace in the lion's den. Do we understand? And so let's take heart tonight. Let's take encouragement from this situation where Christ has come. Understanding these people, as I've said before, and I'll say it again, these were not special people. They're normal people, just like you and I. They ask the same sorts of questions. They make the same sorts of statements. Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That looks like something I would say if my brother had died. And yet God is able to do so much exceeding abundant above all that, that we can just trust Him and know that He will work it to His glory. All right, let's close with a word of prayer. Father God, we just thank You that You're such a great God, that You are so able to do so much more than we can imagine. We're so thankful that we need not be without hope in this world as so many are, but we can have our hope in Jesus Christ. We can know that our eternity is settled. We can know that we are safe and that even if our life should be taken, that we will be at home in Thy presence that very moment. What a consolation to the believer. And so, Lord, give us confidence in that we would live in light of eternity every day, that we would look to Thee in love and in faith and live in a way that glorifies Thee. Lord, we pray if there's anybody here that does not know Thee as Savior, who is yet casting about in their mind as to what they're to do, that, Lord, You'd give acknowledgement to the truth, that they'd be able to understand the gospel this evening and trust Thee for salvation. Lord, we love You tonight. We're so thankful that Your grace is offered to all, and that anyone that comes in faith can receive You and can have eternal life. It's a wonderful truth. Lord, we thank You for Your working in our lives, and pray as we go forward this week that You would open effectual doors of witness, that we would be able to, just as a beggar gives bread to another beggar, that we might be a blessing, that we might give that living water to those who are dying of thirst, that they might know the truth and that the truth would set them free. Father God, we just pray that You would have Your way in our lives and that we this week might live to glorify Thee. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Lord bless. Thank you so much for your time. And Lord willing, we'll see you on Wednesday. God bless.